check showed Richter that there were about 30 minutes left on the buff he'd gained from the elders. If it faded, it wouldn't be a huge hit considering how high Richter's stats already were, but that didn't mean he wanted to waste it. He told Calder to hunker down at the cave entrance. The scout war party position let him know the monster's levels, but that was all. It wasn't enough info. To really know what his warband would be facing, he needed to use his analyze skill. That meant he needed line of sight. It was time to do some recon. Richter activated stealth and made his way into the cave mouth. The slope under his feet fell at more than a 45-degree angle. He was going to abandon his pride and slide down on his butt, but with a smile he realized he didn't have to. Instead, he jumped into the air and used cloud running. In seconds, he had silently coasted down to the ground. He gave his eyes a moment to acclimate to the darkness. There was still some faint light coming from the opening, but not enough. He decided to cast night vision. Everything in his vision became an overlay of greens and blacks. He surveyed the tunnel entrance, searching for any enemies that Alma might have missed. No creatures came rushing out of the dark, but there was another unpleasant surprise. Blotches of red appeared in his night vision, looking like a Christmas nightmare. The hallway was festooned with traps, and his Pierce the Veil skill made them glow red no matter what type of vision he used. Richter heaved a sigh, saying goodbye to his buff. This was going to take a while. Richter called Alma back from where she was spying on the skeletons. He jotted down a quick note telling Calder about the traps and that he intended to disable all of them before coming back up. He also ordered the sergeant to stay outside. If he had to make a speedy retreat, it would be best to have the rest of the party still above ground. Alma flew close and took the note from him while Richter continued his laborious process of trap detection. His ring of hidden dangers came out of his bag to replace the mana ring he'd taken from the goblin witch doctor. He made his way through the minefield a few steps at a time. While some of the traps lit up easily, the higher level ones only revealed themselves after long inspection. At skill level 25 in Pierce the Veil, his perception was fairly high, but that didn't mean he would see everything. All it would take would be him moving too fast over a well-concealed trap and wham! No more Richter. Moving at such a cautious speed, it took him about 15 minutes to get to the end of the hall. He spotted no less than 22 traps along the way. Some were simple pressure plates, others were trip wires, and there were a few wafer-thin stones that would most likely plunge whomever stepped upon them into spikes, snakes, or a vat of acid. He didn't disarm any of them yet. His priority was to analyze the enemies waiting for them. He finally got to the end, his figure still wrapped in shadows. This far from the entrance, there was minimal light, but still enough to make his night vision work. His enchanted boots made his already soft footfalls almost completely inaudible. Peeking around the corner, he finally got within visual range of the undead. Meanwhile, Alma had returned and was holding onto the wall above his head. As soon as the skeletons came into view, he used Analyze. Name, Bodak. Disposition, Loathing. Bodaks are skeletons that maintain some memory of their former life. Rather than connecting them to the world of life, the memory of what has been taken from them fills their tattered souls with hate and loathing. Their reinforced bone structure and skills make them enemies not to be underestimated. Special Attack, Memories of Life. Each Bodak retains memories, skills, and sometimes even abilities from their former life. Level 17. Health, 428. Mana, 24. Stamina, 291. Strength, 38. Agility, 25. Dexterity, 22. Constitution, 42. Endurance, 29. Intelligence, 2. Wisdom, 4. Charisma, 6. Luck, 9. The three Bodaks he was watching moved with more grace than other skeletons he'd fought. Even those had been able to run quickly enough to give him nightmares for a time. They had still shambled, though. Grace just wasn't all that possible without sinews or muscles. At least, that was what Richter had thought. These three moved easily and with intent. They continuously scanned the corridor in front of them. Thankfully, between Richter's stealth level and his cloak of concealment, he remained undetected. Two were melee fighters, holding a rusty short spear and mace, respectively. Both held iron-bound shields and wore chainmail armor in various states of disrepair. The third made Richter curse inside his head. The skeleton was holding a bow made of dark brown wood, marking it as an archer. It also wore red leather armor that looked reasonably well cared for. The problem wasn't its raiment, it was the fact that it was also a professional warrior. The way its skeletal face and empty eye sockets scanned the hallway in front of it was just creepy. Behind them was a small cave entrance. It had to be the way into the undead lair, and these three were set to guard it. If a professional was just the gate guard, though, Richter was starting to think he may have underestimated the danger they were facing. He set Alma to continue monitoring the skeletons and made his way back to the warband. Taking out his map, Richter showed everyone what they were facing. Calder cursed anew when he heard that there was a professional.
"Do you have any idea what talents it might have, my lord?"
"No," Richter replied regretfully. "My analyze skill isn't high enough yet." Calder nodded and squared his shoulders.
"How do you want to approach it?"
"We have no idea how many more undead are beyond the doorway. The opening is too small to risk Alma sneaking past them, especially with a warrior bowman." Richter accessed his inventory and looked at one of his new potions. "I have an idea about how to lure them to us, but first I need to disarm the traps below and mark the dangerous spots. In the meantime, tie some ropes to the trees up here and throw them down the hole. If we need to exit the lair in a hurry, we'll be glad to have them." Richter pulled four heavy coils of rope out of his bag of holding. The sergeant took them and started doing as instructed. The Chaos Seed went back down the hole. Taking two lockpicks from his bag, he got to work. There was a wide variation between the traps. Some were less than level 5, while others were level 20 or higher. There wasn't a direct correlation between a trap's level and how long it took to disarm, but it was generally longer for the higher level devices. Thankfully, none of them were false traps or traps on top of traps. Richter had come to expect those sorts of devious tactics from kobold traps. In comparison, these were straightforward and easy to deal with. It took an hour, but Richter disarmed them all. He also summoned mist lights and placed them on the floor near the covered pits. It had been a slight risk that the extra light would alert the Bodax, but the glow from the gray orbs didn't travel far. Just to be safe, he had Alma watching the three skeletons the entire time he was working. As they hadn't moved from their posts, he felt it had been a worthwhile gamble. Several prompts appeared while he worked. "You have learned the item enchantment, Briar. Enchantment size 3. Enchantment school, Earth. Effects. Briar. Each rank, 1. Allows you to cover the surrounding area in thorns. 2. Increases the density and number of thorns. 3. Increases the duration of enchantment. 4. Increases range and size of enchantment, variable due to item being enchanted. This can only be applied as a macro enchantment." Another macro enchantment? It was clear he had only begun to scratch the surface of his essence specialty. Richter couldn't wait to convert more spells. He began paying the cost for his next purchased enchantment. One of his skills had also advanced. "Congratulations, you have reached skill level 23 in Trap Disarm. Plus 46% more likely to disarm traps." The cherry on top was that he had been able to salvage several traps. "You have found Acidic Breath Trap, durability 14 of 14, item class uncommon, quality well-crafted, weight 0.5 kilograms. Traits. Once triggered, a cloud of corrosive gas is released, causing 13 to 17 points of acid damage per second, until neutralized or 14 seconds pass. You have found Dart Trap times 3, durability 11 of 11, item class common, quality well-crafted, weight 0.1 kilograms. Traits: once triggered, will fire a dart causing 4 to 5 damage. You have found Orange Prickle Worm Trap, durability 17 of 17, item class uncommon, quality superb, weight 0.7 kilograms. Traits: once triggered, will cover the target in 20 to 30 orange prickle worms. These inch-long, small summoned monsters will last 5 minutes or until destroyed. Each worm will cause 2 points of damage to both health and stamina for each second that they are in contact with a creature's skin. You have found Infectious Mania Trap, durability 22 of 22, item class unusual, quality superb, weight 0.6 kilograms. Traits: once triggered, this trap will infect the target with a magical illness. Within several minutes, boils will cover the target, causing a small drop in constitution and a major drop in charisma. If untreated, psychosis will result within weeks to months. This infection can be spread to others through any fluid contact. Richter had been happy to get the first two traps. One, because he had almost no traps left, and two, because he had wanted to have some traps to study. He was hoping he could discover how they were made and then make his own. The third trap had grossed him out. He wasn't a squeamish guy, but the idea of worms crawling all over him, getting in his nooks and crannies, ugh, it gave him the willies. His reaction to the orange worm trap was nothing compared to the horror he felt as he read the final prompt. It wasn't the fact that he was holding a weaponized illness, though that was clearly not the best. It was that he recognized the description from his med school days. It was syphilis. He was holding magical syphilis. Looking carefully at the trap, he could see there was a small vial in the mechanism. It held a clear fluid with greenish-black blobs floating inside. As he looked at it, he realized he might be looking at the purest expression of evil that had ever existed. Someone had weaponized an STD. What the fuck was wrong with people? Richter carefully put all the traps into his bag, being extra cautious with the last one. Then he ran back to the entrance. He grabbed one of the ropes and started pulling himself upward. It was times like these that he marveled at the capabilities of his body. Though the slope was steep, he was able to climb up the rope at the speed of an easy jog. Bare seconds passed before he was in daylight again. He looked around at his men. There were 19 people with him, not including Shinecatcher. Richter had already formed his war party when fighting the Abyssal Tree, and so couldn't add anyone else. Including himself, he still had 9 people, though. Calder, Cedrin, Kenjiro, one other sprite, 3 other guardsmen, and the healer, Heval. The question was whether to take his whole party down into the dungeon or leave some people up top. Considering the benefits he could give his war party, bigger might not necessarily be better. He accessed the promotions and badges prompt of his war screen. Promotions. 1. Vigilant 1. Plus 5% to perception of future hidden enemies. Plus 5% to response time to future surprise attacks. 2. Sapper 1. Plus 5% to attack versus an entrenched enemy. 3. Subterranean 1. Plus 5% to defense when fighting underground. 4. Overwhelming odds 2. Plus 30 to fighting spirit. 5. Weakness equals death 5. Champions in your war party have plus 25% attack and defense versus lower level opponents. 6. Slaughter the innocent 2. Plus 10 fighting spirit for 1 hour per non-combatant life claimed. 7. Battle Lord 1. Plus 1 to all base primary characteristics for your champions. Badges. 1. Ranged attack 4. Plus 20% more damage to ranged attacks. 2. Melee defense 3. Plus 15% defense versus melee attacks. 3. Ranged defense 2. Plus 10% defense versus ranged attacks. 4. Magical strength 2. life, plus 6% strength of life magic. 5. Movement speed 3, forest, plus 30% movement speed in forest. 6. Skilled positions. Tank 2, plus 20% to aggro, plus 10% defense, plus 5% defense to any ally within 10 yards. Scout 2, plus 20% to concealment, can assign enemies and entire party will see their level and position. Healer 2, plus 20% to healing spells, first aid, and other healing efforts, minus 5% cost to healing. 7. Lead by example. War leader can adopt the bonuses of any skilled position up to rank 2. 8. Favored enemy 1, goblin. When fighting goblins, plus 20% melee and ranged attack and defense, plus 12% magical strength, all basic elements, plus 8% magical defense, all basic elements. 9. Power level 1. 10% of war party's total experience may be funneled to one member. 10. Sphere of influence 1. Plus 100% range of sphere of influence. Seeing his progression as a war leader made his choice easy. The main difference between promotions and badges were that promotions had to be earned in battle. They reflected the actions and deeds of a war party. He had gained overwhelming odds, for instance, when his warband had fought off an enemy 20 times their number. Badges, on the other hand, were purchased with war points earned in battle. The higher his rank in the war leader's skill, the more badges were available to be bought. The perks were high enough that anyone in his warband would have a serious edge in battle. Because of that, he wouldn't risk anyone else in the dungeon. Calder, arrange everyone not in the warband to guard this position. If we have to make a speedy retreat, I want to make sure that we're not running into new enemies as we flee the old ones. Then I want our party down that hole. Remind everyone that the mist lights show where there are pits. It's time to get to work.
Sir,
was Calder's simple reply. He clapped a fist to his heart and started giving orders. 2 minutes later, the warband entered the lair. Chapter 64, Day 144, Qyburn 34, 0 AOC. The plan was simple. They would use the Crypt Mistress potion to draw the skeletons away from the doorway and into the first corridor. Then they would spring a trap. Ideally, they could take the skeletons down with a minimum of noise. The last thing Richter wanted was 50 more undead spilling in from the next room. It was enough to make him nostalgic for the days of playing simple MMORPGs. Back then, you could draw aggro on a few monsters at a time. You could even rely on mobs stupidly following you while you kited them around a room. Unfortunately, real life was far less convenient. Here, if his warband made too much noise, then the undead in the next room could hear, and they could notify the entire nest. It was that fear of noise that made him forbid the Maedon sprites from imbuing their arrows. If they had any hope of keeping this first battle quiet, they had to avoid the booms that accompanied the sprites' racial skill. Alma flew forward to spy upon the Bodax again. Thankfully, they were in the same place. Then he started dual casting. The first spell was Summon Weak Sapling. A 5-foot-tall green disc appeared, bringing with it the faint scent of evergreens. It added to the luminescence of the hall, but Richter was casting directly by the entrance. A quick check of what Alma could see showed the skeletons weren't reacting. Once the forest elemental was standing next to him, he cast Akaton Evolution. For the next 4 seconds, gray light surrounded his hands. The feeling of oneness and contentment that came the last time he used chaos magic filled him again. He knew in his very soul that this was the power he had been meant for. A beam of swirling chaotic energy poured into the sapling and it began to change. The deer-shaped creature reared back on its hind legs and began to shrink. In a few seconds, it had lost half of its mass and was now a solid wood creature with a humanoid form. Thorns studded its body in various places, and it had a wreath of small green leaves on top of its head, giving the appearance of shaggy hair. Know this, your spell Akaton Evolution has evolved your Saproling into a Thorn Elemental, one of three possible evolutions. Attack increased by +3, defense decreased by 3. Your new creature is a magic caster. Known spells, Entangle, Poison Thorn, and Sleep Pollen. Special abilities, Fire Thorns. The little creature stood at the ready. It was only 3 feet tall, but its mana pool had expanded up to 483 points. It had less health and stamina than the Saproling, but its magical abilities made up for that. Unfortunately, the last two, Poison Thorn and Sleep Pollen, were unlikely to work against the undead. Entangle could come in handy, though. Richter made eye contact with it to form a weak psychic bond, then cast his next spell. Green light surrounded his hands again as he dual-cast the summoning of his Chokespore Arachnid. The spider came through a portal and stood in place, awaiting instructions. The holes in its abdomen could release hundreds of thousands of spores that would incapacitate anything that breathed them in. Again, not super useful against skeletons, but he was hoping he could evolve it into something better. A few seconds later, it was suffused with chaotic energy. It swelled to twice its original size. Know this, your spell Akaton Evolution has evolved your Chokespore Arachnid into a Solvent Spider Queen, one of four possible evolutions. Attack, +5. Defense, +4. Speed, -30%. Special abilities, Acidic Spit. Birth. The spider was a great deal less mobile, but was undeniably more powerful. Its acidic abilities were cool, but the birth ability apparently let it summon tiny versions of itself, all with their own acid abilities. Richter was more than pleased. Everyone else had started coating their weapons with the Sun Lotus poison. It might have been overkill, but one mistake Richter didn't plan on making was underestimating his enemy. His summoned spider climbed the wall, then crossed over onto the ceiling, hanging suspended upside down in the middle of the tunnel. Everyone else hugged the shadows. With his preparations complete and all possible buffs cast, Richter took out the allure potion of the Crypt Mistress. He unstoppered the vial and had to fight the urge to immediately vomit. The potion might have been catnip to undead creatures, but to him, it smelled like prison sex in June when the AC was out. Richter walked to the end of the hall and poured it out right before the next corridor began. The smell intensified tenfold, and he ran away from it, covering his nose and mouth with the edge of his cloak. Alma complained in his mind about the stench, which was saying something. He'd literally seen her eat the ass out of a rat before. Their discomfort didn't matter, though. All that mattered was what happened to the Bodax. The skeletons almost immediately oriented on the end of the hallway they were in. Their teeth started clacking together in excitement. It wasn't a language. If it was, Richter's Gift of Tongues ability would have activated, but he'd be damned if it didn't look like they were talking to each other. First one, then the other two started walking towards the scent. They walked normally at first, but then their weapons started sagging lower as they sped up. Richter didn't even know how a skeleton could smell, not having a nose, a brain, or any other flesh, but then, how the hell could a bunch of bones even walk around? Richter watched them through Alma's eyes until they turned the corner. One of the Bodak's weapons was actually dragging on the ground behind it. They were all focused on reaching the epicenter of the demoness's musk. Once they did, the two melee skeletons dropped to their hands and knees to be even closer to where the potion had fallen onto the rocky ground. Only the warrior resisted the powerful allure and still looked around for danger, but he was clearly distracted. It didn't matter. It was too late. Richter gave three mental commands in quick succession. Each was obeyed without question. Alma aimed her primary attack, Psi Blast, at the three skeletons. She narrowed the beam to its strongest intensity and fired. The undead were less susceptible than the living to thought attacks, skeletons especially so, but most still required mental energy to function. The Bodak's enchanted mentation worked against them, giving her attack even more fertile ground. All three skeletons suffered from stun, One was afflicted with disorientation, and all three took direct health damage. The spider struck next. Without even detaching from the ceiling, it released its brood. Hundreds of quarter-sized spiders emerged from the holes in its abdomen. The pure white spiderlings fell like deadly snow. They festooned the three stunned skeletons and began biting. The damage from their tiny mouths didn't even take away a whole point of health, but the acidic magical damage was another matter entirely. A small green glow came from the bite of every spider. Every moment their mouths were attached, more of the bones dissolved. The skeletons stood there taking hits from dozens of spiders each, the fractions of individual damage adding up to 6 to 7 damage per second. The Thorn Elemental executed the third attack even as the spiderlings were falling. At Richter's order, it cast Entangle. Roots broke through the rocky ground and wound their way up to the waists of each Bodak. All the attacks took 5 seconds to complete, which was all the time the warrior skeleton needed to shake off the stun effect. It had barely lost 20 health from the spiderlings, and it immediately oriented on Richter's party. Its teeth clacked together as it began to raise its bow. It didn't get the chance. Richter cast 2 spells in rapid succession. 2 balls of light shot from his hands and affixed themselves to the Bodak. It both gave his people a clear view of the undead at the end of the darkened hallway and signaled his command to attack. All 4 Maedon sprites released simultaneously. Their shots weren't imbued, but their arrows were coated with the Sun Lotus poison. Entangled as the skeletons were, there was no chance for the sprites to miss. 2 arrows struck the warrior, and 1 struck both of the lower-level undead. The damage from the shots was not something to be shrugged off. The sprite bows weren't quite as powerful as Richter's larger version, but each sprite's archery skill was considerably higher. Each skill level added another 2% to the base damage. The Bodaks lost 20 to 30 health from each shot and were rocked back, but that was nothing compared to the poison. At the sight of each impact, waves of golden light started spreading through their bony bodies, wreaking more damage every second. One of the melee fighters added to the pandemonium by attacking his fellow. Alma's disorient caused the skeleton to attack one of the only 2 targets he could reach while ensnared by the Thorn Elemental spell. As great as the poison was, the warrior Bodak was barely phased. It had lost 30% of its health and was losing more every second from the poison, but the health loss was being resisted. The skeletons were losing 25 to 35 points of health per second, rather than the 40 to 60 that Richter had been hoping for. It was just another example of how many factors came into play during battle. Tavia's poison was potent, but the Bodaks evidently had some limited resistance to either life magic or poison in general. Given enough time, the poison would most likely cause at least the 2 melee Bodaks to succumb, but Richter wasn't about to let the warrior use a talent that would screw all of them. The Chaos Seed ordered attack, and the 3rd phase of the trap was triggered. Richter and the other melee fighters rushed forward to engage the 3 skeletons. The archer was raising its bow again. Without breaking stride, Richter reached up and drew his Elementum short sword. His arm whipped forward and threw the green blade at the warrior. The Elementum blade flew through the air and struck the entrapped skeleton. The blade bit through one of its rib bones and rattled around inside of its chest. The hilt got caught on another of its bones, and the blade remained hanging inside of the undead at an angle. The throw caused another 42 points of slashing and sonic damage, but that wasn't the real point. It also disrupted the skeleton's attempt to fire. The arrow it had pulled from its quiver fell to the ground. The skeleton turned its head to glare at Richter, which was just fine by the Chaos Seed. Thanks to his high stats, Richter was almost a blur while he sprinted towards the warrior. With both hands on the hilt of his 2nd weapon, he brought it down with crushing force onto the skeleton's head. It was not his Moonstone short sword he swung, powerful though the weapon was. No, this was a weapon suggested by Crom when the dwarf heard that Richter would most likely be fighting skeletons soon. According to Crom, "The bony bastards have a naturally high resistance to slashing weapons, but they drop to their knees like a grateful wife if you just smash them." That was why they had enchanted the white metal mace he was holding. Richter strikes Bodak Warrior with mace for 178 points of varied damage. The warrior's skull fractured, and one of its mandibular joints snapped. Its head whipped away from the force of the blow, but then it snapped back, looking right into Richter's face with its cold, emotionless sockets. Before he could recover, it activated a warrior talent from its previous life. While most of its professional attacks required the use of its bow, Stun Punch did not. It consumed 30 points of the skeleton's stamina, but that meant almost nothing. The undead burn almost no stamina through their normal exertions. A bony fist struck Richter in the chest just below the clavicle, and he lost control of his body. He began to fall, but could still see the skeleton rearing back to hit him again. Then, a black and gray streak swooped down and attached herself to the skeleton's head. Richter's internal cursing turned to laughter as he continued to fall. His two summoned creatures attacked the skeleton as well. "You mess with me? You mess with my whole crew," he thought as loudly as he could.
Chapter 65, Day 144, Kuborn 34, 0 AOC. The three Bodak succumbed quickly after that. Richter was only stunned for a few seconds, his high constitution and endurance counteracting the debuff. Once the skeletons were destroyed, Calder quickly formed another skirmish line facing the doorway the three had been guarding. Thankfully, no other undead came through. The ambush had gone swimmingly. Richter was actually the only injury, and the damage he received was minor. A quick healing spell from his familiar was all he needed to be back to full capacity. Richter quickly absorbed the knowledge from the post-battle prompts. You have been awarded 14,762 experience from Brain Drain against level 22 Bodak Warrior. XP deficit remaining, minus 82,989. For slaying two Bodaks, you have been awarded 8 war points. For slaying one Bodak warrior, you have been awarded 20 war points. War points multiplied by 5 for slaying a professional. Total war points, 99. You have captured Soul of a Bodak, times 3. Durability, 20 of 20. Item class, common. Stone level, common. Soul level, common. Status, filled. Weight, 0.3 kilograms. Richter had a faint smile on his face, and not just because using Brain Drain on the warrior had given a much-needed XP infusion. Creating the soul trap arrows was really paying off. There was no way the warband would have had enough time to soul trap all three of the monsters during the ambush without them. The sprites were even able to collect some of their enchanted arrows to use again. The skeletons didn't have any loot besides their weapons and armor, which was all low durability and quality. He left it where it was because they couldn't waste time removing it from the bones. Once the dungeon was cleared, they could always grab it on the way back. Richter hadn't seen any traps when he'd peeked around the corner before, but he wanted to check again now that the coast was clear. While Alma flew through the doorway at the end of the hall to scout, he summoned more mist lights, leaving them hanging in the air. Now that it was better lit, he dismissed his night vision and started scanning the room in earnest. While he searched, he thought back over the battle. Tavia definitely deserved a fruit basket. Her new potions were awesome. The allure potion made from the crypt mistress's ichor was amazing. Not only had it attracted the undead, but they had been so enthralled that their guard had dropped. The sun lotus poison had also performed as expected. Reviewing the combat logs, he saw that the melee Bodaks had been able to resist about 20% of the poison's damage, and the warrior about 30%. Still, the poison did as much damage as any of the other attacks. As far as experiments went, the battle had been a resounding success. While he searched the room, Richter also kept part of his attention on what Alma was seeing. After the doorway, she'd come upon a hallway made of loose-fitting blocks of gray stone. Plants were growing through the cracks in certain places. The only light came from the doorway she had entered through, and it was meager.
Thankfully, her dark vision let her see easily. The corridor reached a five-way intersection after only 80 feet. She asked Richter what he wanted her to do. All he could say was to keep searching, so she picked the leftmost fork and kept flying. With her body already a blackish gray coupled with her chameleon enhancement, it should have been easy to avoid detection. Unfortunately, skeletons without eyes obviously did not rely on traditional methods of sight. That became clear when she turned a corner and a bolt of ice struck her small body. Alma fell with a cry. Her body struck the ground with a small thump, but to Richter, it felt like the world itself reverberated. Skeletons started rushing towards her and the caster began another spell. The dragonling had no resistance to water magic, but her psi bond served almost the same role. At level 6, her bond with Richter increased her wisdom by 75%, giving her a value of 86. With her attribute that high, she had a strong, innate magical resistance. Though she lost some life from both the magic attack and the fall, Alma was no weak creature. She landed on her feet, and as soon as she hit the floor, she bounded off again. "Alma!" Richter cried out to her. He started to sprint towards the doorway. An arrow struck the ground where she'd been a moment before. She didn't respond at first, just focusing on staying alive. Alma flapped her wings and flew sideways. Her feet landed on a wall and she pushed off again, flapping for all she was worth. The skeletons chased after her.
"No, master. I can come to you, but there are many of them. I do not know how many. Ambush them when they come through the door."
Richter didn't like her suggestion, but he knew she was right. His war party was deadly, but they could easily be overwhelmed by a numerically superior force. He also hadn't forgotten the high levels of the Bodak gatekeepers. It was likely that the monsters further into the dungeon would be even stronger. The lack of light in the tunnels was also a factor. In there, his party would effectively be afflicted with a blind status, and he hadn't even checked the floor for traps. If the snares were of a sufficiently high level, they might only react to foes while letting the skeletons run right over them. Once again, he realized how blessed he was to have such an amazing familiar. He started giving orders.
"Calder, make a shield wall 10 feet out from the door. Alma's been attacked. She's on her way, but she's bringing company. Archers, prepare to fire into the doorway on my order. On my order, not before. Imbued shots this time, since we've already been discovered. Life Magi, stay behind the melee fighters and defend them. Do not spare the mana potions. Everyone ready the Sun Lotus poison. Do not kill my familiar!"
The warband snapped into motion and Richter began his own preparations. Both of his summoned creatures had returned to wherever they originally came from. They were his primary attack summonings and the cooldowns hadn't elapsed yet. Thankfully, they were not the only creatures he could call upon. The Chaos Seed downed a mana potion and began dual casting in quick succession. Summon weak Gold Fox, summon weak Life Wisp, and summon weak Bile Rats. He quickly formed a mental link with each of them by looking in their eyes. The Wisp was just a ball of light, of course, but apparently looking at any part of it was enough. Ever since Hisako warned him about summoning too many creatures, he'd been concerned about his summonings slipping his control. She said he would start to feel it if it happened, but so far none of his creatures had gone rogue. He cast Akaton Evolution on each of the creatures.
"Know this, your spell Akaton Evolution has evolved your Gold Fox into a Shining Fox, one of three possible evolutions. Speed increased by +2. Max number of heals increased from 5 to 10. Hit points restored per heal increased from +100 to +150. Your new creature exudes an aura of life energy, regenerating 1 hit point per second within 10 feet, affecting allies only." "Know this. Your spell Akaton Evolution has evolved your Life Wisp into a Life Will-O-Wisp, one of two possible evolutions. Defense increased by +1. Max number of heals increased to 3. Heal ability is now AoE spell with a radius of 15 feet, affecting allies only."
Know this, your spell Akaton Evolution has evolved your bile rats into sickness rats, one of five possible evolutions. Attack plus 3, HPs plus 30 to 40 per rat. Bites can transmit a number of weak but communicable diseases. The fox's golden pelt obtained a white streak on both sides, and it began to glow. The wisp had originally been a grapefruit-sized ball of golden light, but after it was struck by Richter's chaotic energy, hundreds of tiny motes of golden energy began to surround it, and it doubled in size. The bile rats were normally sickly-looking, underfed things. Thanks to Richter's chaos spell, they grew larger and their coats grew healthier, no longer sick themselves, but carriers instead. Each evolution made the summoned creatures more powerful. After casting Akaton Evolution the third time, Richter felt a slight strain at his mental connection to the summoned creatures. Not just the bond to the rats, but all three of the links quivered. Richter focused on strengthening them, acting instinctually. The instability disappeared. He had complete control again, but it made him wonder what would happen when he started summoning higher-level creatures.
I'm almost there, Master!
Alma's frantic psychic cry brought the situation back into laser focus. Dual-casting so many spells had drained his mana substantially. The potion he'd downed was already restoring a great deal of his MP, but he drank another just to be sure. He cursed the lack of time. He could see the dragonling through the doorway now. There was only time for one more spell. Summoning his magic, Richter's hands began weaving in mirror images of one another. Arcane words of power fell from his lips, and orange-red light surrounded his hands. A golf ball-sized ball of flame snapped into existence between his hands, growing to the size of a tennis ball a second later. By the third second, the casting was done, and a baseball-sized ball of fire shot from Richter's hands. It flew through the open doorway. Alma already knew what he was planning. With a synchronicity that was only possible because of their deep psychic bond, she dove directly under the ball of fire and landed. Trusting in her magic, she cast weak static life shield. A bubble of pure life energy sprung into being around her. The Bodax, which had never been more than several steps behind, started clacking their jaws together in anticipation of the kill. Then they were immolated. The baseball-sized ball of flame had expanded to the size of a beach ball by the time it struck the lead Bodak. The fireball exploded on contact, flame washing over the skeletons and Alma's protective bubble. The Bodaks lacked any flesh, but three of them still started to burn. Alma's shield lost 15% of its health in seconds, but it was still more than enough to keep her safe for a moment.
"Hold them for just a bit more, my love," Richter called to her psychically.
The dragonling had bought the party precious seconds.
"Start imbuing!" he shouted.
While the sprites started pouring mana into their shots, both Richter and Alma started buffing themselves. While the dragonling prepared for battle, the Bodax began raining blows upon her shield. It had only had 100 hit points to start with, and the fireball had siphoned a good chunk of those only a moment before. Luckily, the life shield was the perfect defense against the dead. Its base defense of plus 3 was increased to plus 9 when used against death creatures. Still, against the combined blows of the Bodax, it would succumb in seconds. Alma didn't wait. After she buffed herself, she launched her body away from the several dozen Bodax who had been bottlenecked by her shield. As soon as she touched the far edge of the bubble, the shield was dispelled. Several Bodax fell to the ground as they had been braced against the edge of the magic sphere. The dragonling shot through the doorway with more Bodax right behind her.
"Now!"
Richter commanded. Four imbued arrows shot through the opening and detonated with an ear-splitting boom. In the confined space of the dungeon, the sound was enormous, and everyone in the company gained a deafened debuff. It was worth it. Bones flew in all directions as the sprite's group attack, Death Lotus, reinforced the individual imbued arrow strikes. The Bodax were not finished, though. The Ice Mage mini-boss had erected a shield of its own and protected many of the skeletons from the sprite's attack. The caster then enchanted the other Bodax, adding ice damage to all of their weapons and extinguishing the flames on the few that had been afflicted with a burn status. The first of the skeletons reached the doorway with their weapons raised and promptly fell down. Richter hadn't been idly waiting. In addition to buffing himself, he'd cast grease on the floor in front of the doorway. The skeletons fell and slid in the dark brown slick, delivered almost to the waiting feet of his war party. Calder used his new field advancement, rallying cry. A bellow issued from his throat, increasing the attack and defense of the entire warband by plus one for the next 5 minutes. The war party attacked. More Bodaks spilled from the doorway. Richter cast weak flame, igniting the entire patch of grease. Every skeleton received fire damage as they entered the room. Some fell, but it didn't stop them. The battle was joined. One Bodak warrior made it through the grease without falling and ran directly at Richter. The undead was on fire, taking damage every second, but it was a drop in the bucket compared to its large pool of health. It activated the warrior talent Lunge. The heavy spear it held shot towards Richter like a bullet. Even the Chaos Seed's high stats couldn't keep up. The best he could do was to sweep his short sword up to deflect the weapon slightly. The point of the spear hit him high in the chest. The damn thing punctured right through his armor. His chest plate stopped the thrust from going too deep, but 3 inches still punctured his flesh. Richter growled as the cold enchantment on the blade began to numb his arm. The Bodak continued to push, trying to force the spear deeper, but Richter learned a new use of his latest skill. Rather than backpedaling to stop the damage, he activated cloud running. He had to drop his short sword, but he still had his moonstone mace in his other hand. Gliding on a cushion of air, he was able to grab the weapon just behind the spearhead. With almost no friction, he just had to straighten his arm to remove the weapon from his chest. That, of course, caused even more pain to shoot through him, but he was free. Richter used his ring of healing. It only restored 34 health, but the effect was immediate. Some of the pain eased. Gritting his teeth, he counterattacked. Richter didn't waste the Bodak's momentum. When his 2.5 seconds of glide time elapsed, his feet fell to the floor. At the same time, he pushed the spear up and pulled it forward with his left hand. With his right, he swung his mace in a wide haymaker. The life-enchanted weapon struck the skeleton with crushing force, shattering several ribs and fracturing a few vertebrae. The Sun Lotus poison infected the undead creature as well, spreading waves of golden light through its body. The Bodak let go of its spear and grabbed Richter's shoulders. Its empty gaze still somehow radiated malevolence. Bringing up its bony knee, it struck the Chaos Seed in the face. A fountain of blood erupted from Richter's nose, and his vision went red. All around him, cries of battle and pain rang out.
Motherfucker!
In that moment of pain, Richter lost himself. All he wanted in the world was to hurt the creature that had just hurt him. Richter growled as he wrapped both arms around the Bodak's skeletal legs and lifted it off the ground.
Double leg, motherfucker!
Taking a step forward, he slammed the skeleton down onto its back, his own body on top of it. What they said was true. You could take the man out of the ring, but you couldn't take the wrestler out of the man. The two of them landed with a crash, and Richter raised his mace to shatter its skull. Before he could finish his attack, a creature formed of pure white ice struck him with a fist the size of a cinder block. Not only did it knock him through the air, it also left him with a debuff. You are slowed, -28% to movement and attack speed. As he sailed through the air, Richter caught his first sight of the skeleton that had summoned the ice creature. The slow debuff was stronger than he could have managed. Not surprising, as the Bodak that had summoned it was a professed mage. That meant the skeleton was at least skill level 45 in water magic, journeyman or higher in rank. A far cry greater than his own paltry initiate rank in water magic. Richter gritted his teeth as he landed. He fucking hated fighting magi.
"Kill the caster, love," he sent to his familiar.
"What the hell do you think I am doing?"
came Alma's waspish reply. She banked left, narrowly avoiding an arrow shot by a Bodak warrior. Richter was about to send back his own acerbic reply, but he had other things to deal with. The ice monster's blow had knocked him far to the left. As he got to his feet, he took a split second to review the battle. Calder and his men were maintaining their small shield wall, though more than 15 Bodaks were attacking them. The guards had taken some hard hits, but the biomancers and Richter's summoned Wisp and Fox were healing damage as it came, so they were all still on their feet. The Maedon sprites were firing into the crowd of skeletons, but two skeletal archers were firing back from behind the sortie line. One of the archers was down with an arrow in the neck. As Richter watched, the sprite was downing a health potion with one hand, while the other was braced at the impact site in a desperate effort to stanch the bleeding. In the doorway, the skeletal mage was preparing to cast another spell. Blue light surrounded its hands, and it stood in the center of a bubble of protective water magic. An arrow struck the shield as Richter watched, but despite the extra 10% damage to magic shields imparted by weapons made in the Forge of Heavens, it just plinked off. The mage clearly felt safe behind its protective magic and was taking the time for a longer casting. That probably meant something horrible for Richter's warband, but luckily, the monster had underestimated Alma. The Dragonling pointed her body straight at the skeleton and fired her primary attack, Psi Blast. The deeper magic of thought cut through the basic element shield like it didn't exist. The concentrated beam of psychic energy disrupted the Bodak's casting and triggered a spell feedback. In addition to being afflicted by stun and direct health damage, the skeleton lost its senses and collapsed backwards. The tip of one bony finger brushed the edge of its shield, and the protection disappeared. "That's my girl," Richter thought to her. She didn't actually respond with words. It was more like a smug and psychic, "Heh!" Then Richter didn't have time to do anything but survive. The warrior, ice monster, and one other sword-wielding Bodak were closing on him. The slow debuff was a real kick in the huevos, but his own haste buff, the bonus from his armor and his new impassioned trait, really helped defray the damage. Back on his feet, Richter spat a word of power and cast Weak Mirror Image. With his low skill level of 7 in light magic, it only manifested 2 other copies of himself. They were mere illusions, but they made the warrior Bodak target the copy on his right. Not wasting the opportunity, Richter pushed off and glided on a cushion of air to attack the monster on his left. The ice creature brought a fist back to strike the approaching chaos seed, but a new word of power was already on his lips. A gout of orange flame shot from his hand directly into the summoned creature's chest. It reared back, taking extra damage as fire magic was anathema to its nature. Richter finished his attack by swinging his mace into the knee of the other Bodak. The life-enchanted weapon swept through the joint. The distal bones of its leg clattered to the ground. Richter didn't stop. He kicked off the ground again, moving past his 3 attackers and diving into a roll. His hand closed around the hilt of his short sword, and he kept running towards the skeleton archers in the doorway. Behind him, the ice creature bellowed, sounding like a rage-filled storm. Heavy thuds made clear it was giving chase. Richter just smiled grimly and thought, "Come and get me, snow cone." Chapter 66, Day 144, Qyburn 34, 0 AOC. The battle raged for what felt like hours, but it was actually concluded in the next 10 minutes. That sort of time distortion had become commonplace to Richter as war had hardened him. He stood panting and heaving hard breaths. The shattered body of the skeletal mage lay beneath him. All that remained of the skull were teeth and bone fragments. Several more members of the war party had gone down before the battle ended, but both the biomage and Alma had summoned healing creatures of their own, which had kept everyone on this side of Death's Veil. Without the healing magic, precious few of the party would remain. Even with the magic, 3 of Richter's people were out of the fight. One Maedon sprite had suffered a shattered humerus, thanks to the swing of a Bodak sword. The armor had stopped the cut from going too deep, but the force of the blow had still wreaked serious damage. His arm was fractured in multiple places, something that was beyond the warband's capabilities to fix. Once again, physics proved that it could be a bitch in any world. A second guard had a serious concussion, and another had lost an eye. Richter's magic could heal simple breaks and mend flesh, but it couldn't regenerate a body part. Neurologic injuries also required a more delicate touch. Richter ordered that the three party members be taken back towards the entrance. While the uninjured guards helped them back and everyone else replenished their stamina, Calder approached Richter.
Orders, my lord.
Richter looked at his sergeant and heaved a heavy sigh. We need to clear this nest. These things are strong, and worse, they're smart. We can't leave them here and let them get more entrenched. They would only replenish their strength. He reached into his bag and pulled out more potions of healing, stamina, and mana regen. Hand these out. We go forward with the warband members we have left. Richter had considered bolstering their ranks, but the truth was, everyone he had left behind was lacking in both levels and combat experience. In the tight tunnels, less might be more, especially with the war party badges and promotions. Calder clapped his fist to his chest with a strong, "Sir!" Then he walked off and spoke encouraging words to the men. Richter gazed after the man, so thankful to have such a reliable sergeant under his command. The man was worth his weight in gold. A familiar presence settled across his shoulders.
"I'm so sorry, master,"
came Alma's sorrowful voice.
"And I'm sorry I yelled at you during the battle."
"Don't worry, my love. No one died, and Hisako can even restore Tetsai. You have saved us so many times. I'm just glad you're safe." Richter reached up and brought the dragonling around so he could look at her.
"Are you okay?"
he asked with concern. This was his first time examining her since the battle, and he knew she'd taken at least one blow with that initial ice blast.
"I'm fine, master. I have already healed myself. The extra armor you made me saved my life."
Richter heaved a sigh of relief. "Good." He had felt pure panic when the mage had targeted her. If it wasn't for her high magical resistance, she might have been slowed, or worse, frozen. If either of those two things had happened, the Bodaks would have torn her apart before he could have saved her. They still needed to search the tunnels, but he wouldn't risk her again.
"I will start searching again, and I will be more careful this time."
"No!" he exclaimed. The warband looked at him in surprise and fear, thinking they were being attacked again. Richter was so against the idea of putting her in danger again that he forgot to keep his thoughts silent. "I won't—"
"I am here to serve, master,"
she interrupted.
"I made a mistake and went too fast. That is why this happened. You cannot always protect me. It is my job to protect you. I will be more careful, but I will not let you enter dangerous territory first. You are my master, and you will do as I say."
Her tone was so stern that Richter blinked in surprise. He was used to her being snarky, but she was rarely firm with him. Her last statement was so crazy that it brought the ghost of a smile to his lips. If that wasn't the perfect example of angry woman logic, he didn't know what was. Her speech had the desired effect, though. It shook him out of his impulse to blindly protect her and made him consider her words. The fact of the matter was, she was right. Mostly, at least. There was no one better suited for scouting than his familiar. He also knew in his heart that there were even greater trials coming for them both. These monsters weren't something for them to hide from in fear. In his heart, he knew they were practice. Something much worse was coming. Looking at her fierce draconian face, he thought, "You do realize that as the master, you are supposed to obey me, right?" She leaned forward until she was right in front of his face. Then she licked his cheek.
"That is so cute that you think that, master."
Saying nothing more, she launched herself from his arms and flew back into the doorway. "What happened to the sorrowful dragonling that apologized a minute ago?" he thought after her.
"Temporary insanity,"
she sent back with the psychic equivalent of a smirk. Richter kept a visual feed of what she was seeing firmly in his head while he dealt with the battle prompts. You have been awarded 15,785 experience from Brain Drain against level 23 Bodak Warrior. You have been awarded 6,702 experience from Brain Drain against level 16 Bodak. XP deficit remaining, minus 58,116. For slaying 19 Bodaks, you have been awarded 76 war points.